'Tis the season for a Christmas carol, and not like the several we sang this morning, but rather the singular book that Charles Dickens wrote quite a while ago now, a version of which we just acted in our Insta pageant today. Each December, a Christmas carol makes its appearance like clockwork. Several of you here might have heard our Minister Emeritus read from it in this chancel on December 1st, in fact, signaling, I suppose, the official start of the season. The whole month is filled with live performance and broadcast renditions of the Dickensian tale. Both star vehicles and musical extravaganzas, black and white and technicolor films, animated and puppeted versions, historically accurate editions, and contemporary adaptations. Perhaps you have your own favorite. There's even a 10-part BBC miniseries that turned the death of Jacob Marley into a murder mystery such as only the British can do, and which I watched from start to finish, I admit, with great relish. So when a brand new movie of A Christmas Carol was released this December 19th, many Americans could be heard issuing a collective groan. Do we really need another? The critics thought not, complaining that this cinema verite version was far too dark and ghoulish, a corruption of what audiences had come to expect to be a family classic. But Dickens's original, interestingly enough, originally released on December 19th also, was intended as a ghost story in the long-established tradition of Yuletide ghost stories. In his 1843 dedication, the author explained that he endeavored to raise the ghost of an idea which shall not put my readers out of humor with themselves, with each other, with the season, or with me. May it haunt their houses pleasantly. As Dickens raced to finish a manuscript that he hoped would be ready for holiday sale, he probably had not the faintest notion how haunting his tale would prove to so many for so long. What is it about this story that has enthralled readers and viewers across generations and around the globe? Ebenezer Scrooge, of course, the ill-tempered old miser to whom the rest of us compare quite favorably, however little a holiday spirit we possess ourselves. Some would call Scrooge a timeless character, but I think it's better to understand him as a timely one, not so much seasonal as perennial. He embodies our worst inclinations toward behavior that is selfish, greedy, arrogant, domineering, stinting, cruel, dismissive, and self-satisfied. He serves as a cautionary tale, showing us all the things we should not be, until suddenly he is none of those things and demonstrates all that we should be instead. Generous and self-effacing and kind and humorous and curious and benevolently and munificently engaged in what Dickens called the good old world. Scrooge is perhaps the primary literary illustration of how a person can change overnight, which is a conversion pretty rarely seen, but as bold a human possibility as any. Over the course of Christmas Eve, Scrooge has a change of heart and mind and infinitely more, Dickens writes. The spirits have done it all in one night. They can do anything they like. Of course they can, Scrooge declares on Christmas Day. Of course they can. He becomes a living testimony to their transforming powers, and in the process, an inspiring figure for us all. The promise Scrooge makes at the end of a long night is the exact same one he repeats at the beginning of the dawning day. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me, he insists. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. At the center of Scrooge's spiritual awakening is this heightened awareness of the gift of time itself. Maybe none of us here have been visited by four ghosts in rapid succession, or maybe if we have, we'd rather just keep it to ourselves, thank you. But all of us live in the past, present, and future almost continuously. That is the three-dimensional time we inhabit as humans, and we do so most poignantly, I believe, during the holiday season. The holidays always occasion mixed emotions and time travel. From December to December, we recollect and compare and anticipate. We measure this year against last year and look ahead to the next. We can hardly help ourselves. We have joyful years and sorrowful years, not in equal measure or in any reliable sequence. What matters in the end is that our own experiences are not lost on us, and that we can make meaning of them somehow. When we resist any of the lessons the past, present, and future have to teach us, we can feel haunted. When we start to embrace them, we allow ourselves the chance, at least, to be happy. Scrooge's struggle is ours as well, as we strive to live in a way that is spirited, whatever our age or circumstance. Scrooge's nephew calls the holiday season the only time in the long calendar year when men and women seem by one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely and to think of people as if they were really fellow passengers through these days that we are given here on Earth. The turning of the year reminds each of us of our own mortality, which inevitably reminds us of our humanity, the same humanity that we share with others whose length and quality of life become a much more immediate concern for us. We pay attention. We notice more where our resources are directed, our money, certainly, but also our time and attention. We take account of our own business and ask whether that busyness will prove profitable in either the near term or long term, for those we love best and for those we know hardly at all. By the turn of the 19th century, Dickens' novella was the most widely read English language book after the King James Bible. Some have called A Christmas Carol a fifth gospel, and indeed, sometimes it's packaged as one. Today, it is the second best known Christmas story following the original set in Bethlehem, of course, and a secularized sacred text. Dickens's ghost of an idea lingers in our midst, reminding us of those simultaneous strivings of the spirits of past, present, and future, suggesting some novel ways we might all embody them ourselves. What exists and persists transtemporally, we mortals understand to be eternal. What is eternal, we tend to hold as holy. Holy days remind us that those days occupying ordinary time can become extraordinary ones, can become a blessed December 26th, and a blessed January 7th, and a blessed February 15th, etc., and so on. And that on some level, for all of us, it is never too late, and there is still time stretching ever ahead of us. This year, I wish you holidays that are happy and haunted, both. Please rise in body and spirit for our final hymn this morning, number 248. You can use your gray hymnal. If you use your gray hymnal, sing verses 1 and 3. Otherwise, you can refer to the insert in your order of service.